David West, NBA champion and member of the Golden State Warriors, of course. David, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks, God. Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you, and I'm sure when you hear the introduction, NBA champion, that's got to sound pretty good. Have you gotten used to that yet?
Not quite. It still feels pretty good. You know, just been enjoying the summer, enjoying a pretty good season that we had.
And you left Indiana because you went to San Antonio to chase that championship, and so you leave San Antonio, you go to Warriors, and you finally get it. What was the difference between those other stops and this last one here with the Warriors and finally attaining that goal?
Well, I think it was just two things. The right collection of talent. Obviously having a super talented team put us in position. And then, guys not believing that it was just talent alone that was going to get us there. It was just that consistent approach every single day. The guys having their right focus and everybody's, pushing toward the same goal, and that's winning every single game that we have an opportunity to win. And then ultimately, we were focused on the championship from day one.
You decided to come back on a one-year deal. You said that this is probably going to be your last year. What were some of the thoughts that you had that led to the decision to come back for one more?
Right at the end of the season, I talked to Steve a little bit, and he just talked to me about, that transition, that thought process of going into retirement. And he was like, when you know you're done, like, there's no question. And so, I had such a good taste in my mouth from, the championship run and, the guys, Draymond has been in my ear all year about just coming back. So, it just felt good. It felt like the right thing to do. I still feel alive, feel like I can contribute. Obviously feel, we've got a great group, and we bring it back just about everybody. So, it felt like it was the right thing to do, give it one more shot, see what happens after this year.
You mentioned Steve Kerr, your head coach, and he was absent, at least on the court, because of his health issues. Mike Brown sat in that chair. What grade would you give Mike Brown as far as the job he did steering you guys when Steve was out?
Oh, man, I'd give Mike, I guess, the best grade possible. Mike's a great basketball mind, obviously, and he's had some success, some ups and downs in his coaching career. But, the best thing he did was he just came in and he sort of stuck to what we had been doing. He added his twist here and there, but, he got to be himself. But obviously, it was just about the group, and he knew the strength of the group. He just did a good job of, maintaining and keeping our focus throughout the stretches when he was in charge.
Gio and Jones with David West, NBA champion and Golden State Warrior, across the country on CBS Sports Radio. I know it's going to be a tough question to answer because you're not going to have to go through this having won the title, but if it didn't work out for you and you didn't get that title and you headed into retirement without it, would that have been a really tough thing to live with, or do you think you would have been at peace with your career regardless?
That's something that I thought about a little bit. If we didn't win, it'd just be one of those pills you got to swallow. But people know me. I'm motivated by winning and by being successful. And that's what drives me. Not so much monetary gain, but the idea, the concept, what winning does to you as an individual. And that's what was most valuable to me. So I thought about it some, like, what if it doesn't work out? I knew going to San Antonio, last year, we had a crack at it. Just because you don't win the championship doesn't mean the team that you're on wasn't necessarily a championship caliber team. You just didn't win it. So I knew that for me personally, just being in those kind of environments where the idea of a championship was all that the group was focused on, was what I needed to be in the latter stages of my career. And then ultimately winning, it just makes it, just puts the icing on the cake or tops everything off. So,
all right, I'm a Spurs fan, and I'm watching Kawhi Leonard do his thing, and then your boy Zaza just decided to do the do-si-do with Kawhi's ankle. He goes out of the game. You're able to overcome a 23-point deficit if Kawhi does not get hurt and he's able to maintain that healthiness and do his thing, would that series have gone a different way?
No.
Easy as that, huh?
No. Still would have swept him, huh?
Yeah. I think internally, you know, for us, we always said that, you know, the one game that we felt like we were most vulnerable against them would be game one.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like that was going to be, you know, their best opportunity to get one in that series. And then when they didn't get that one, I just thought that, you know, knowing that was in our mind from the beginning, once we were able to secure game one, you know, we just went through that series, you know, ready to, you know, to just get through it. But again, regardless of what happens, I had you know, unbelievable faith in our group. Again, we've been focused all year. We really hadn't let down at all. Even when KD went out, I mean, we just kept chugging along. So, you know, I was very confident, you know, particularly after we weathered the storm early on in a few of those other series, like, you know, Portland came at us tough game one. We knew that game one was going to be tough.
Why did you think game one was going to be difficult versus the Spurs?
Well, one, because we had a bit of a break before the series before. And, you know, their style of play is just one of, you know, it's so system-driven that it almost takes you a game or two to, you know, to kind of settle in, to get used to it, to work against it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And so, you know, game one against them is usually when you're most vulnerable, because you have to get used to or sort of get reacquainted to how they play and the defensive intensity, obviously, and just the stifle, you know, the way that their defense and their system can stifle you on both sides of the ball.
Gio and Jones with David West across the country on CBS Sports Radio. You guys have a ton of superstars in your team, a lot of big personalities, and you seem to get along really well. How come the Cleveland Cavaliers can't figure that out?
I don't know. I know what works for us is we communicate. Draymond does a good job of just keeping the locker room wide open. Andre does too. You know, just any issues we're having, you know, Steve addresses them. We talk everything out, and everybody's on the same page. I don't think anybody in the group has, you know, those ulterior motives where they're looking and they're motivated by something other than winning. And I think that's one of the secrets that we have. Once something that's stressful about our group.
This was your first installment of the Warriors Cavaliers rivalry. Has the team, have they embraced this rivalry with Cleveland?
I don't know if they've embraced it. I know that the challenge is there. It seems that, you know, everybody just kind of wants to see what happens when we go head to head. You know, obviously, you know, it's because of the talent and obviously LeBron being on Cleveland. You know, it's just one of those things where we know that, you know, obviously we get to the finals, or you get to the later stages in that playoff run, you know, chances are you're going to have to go through LeBron or go through Cleveland. And, you know, that's just the way things turned out this year. We've only played each other twice during the regular season. So obviously those games are highly anticipated, and a lot of folks are looking forward to those games in the regular season. But, I think that, you know, obviously just the caliber of talent on both teams, the fact that those teams have been in the finals the last few years, just puts extra spotlight on the games.
You mentioned Draymond Green a couple times in a leadership role and being the guy who communicates. What is it about him and his communication that gets through to all you guys as well as it does?
You know, he just says what he's feeling. You know, most of the time he's in the right vicinity in terms of messaging. I think sometimes, you know, because he's so emotional and he's so animated, sometimes what he's saying is actually getting lost in what people perceive as him, you know, being maybe over dramatic or overly emotional. But he's usually saying the right things, and obviously it just making sure that everybody's on the same page. If we're constantly talking about championship and constantly talking about winning and trying to be the best team possible, you know, that message is constantly reiterated throughout the year and in the locker room. He's one of the main guys that does that.
Now, watching you throughout your career, you are looked upon as a leader. Did you feel like you could jettison that label going over to the Warriors and you just wanted to fit in more so than step up and speak up?
Well, I mean, I'm still pretty outspoken. It's just, you know, the role that I had served in the teams prior to San Antonio is just it was even more of a leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, it was sort of being the, you know, I don't even know a word for it, but just sort of being Mr. Dependable or the guy that everybody leaned on for everything. Mm-hmm. And at times that gets exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be a part of a group that maybe has more than just one or two. You know, you want five or six of those types of personalities in the locker room. And that was, you know, that's obviously what I was looking for and wanted to be comfortable in. But there's still, you know, obviously my experience being in the NBA will be now 15 years, having seen just about every twist and turn. Guys still come to me and ask me questions about this, that, and the third. And I just try to be a voice of reason. I try to be consistent in my approach every single day and try to lead by example.
Which club should I go to tonight, David?
Which what?
I said, which club should I go to tonight, David? You've been to this city many times.
Where are you?
I'm joking.
No, he's going to give you an answer. That's unbelievable.
I'm in Atlanta. I'm tired of Magic City. I'm tired of Magic City, dog.
David, before we let you go, I want to ask you this, because this NBA offseason has been crazy because everybody's trying to get to the point where you guys are, and it's going to be very difficult to do so. Have you seen any teams' moves that have caught your attention more than the others, whether it's Paul George to Oklahoma City or what the Rockets are doing? Is there one where you say, I mean, that team actually, they did something this offseason, not to say that you'd fear them, but maybe it caught your attention a little bit?
I would say Minnesota. Grabbing Jimmy Butler, I think that changes them tremendously. You know, obviously the two young guys, Wiggins and Towns, are phenomenal. They're up and coming players, but I think you know, Jimmy Butler sort of gives them a ruggedness and a toughness that I think, you know, they need, and it'll help that group's personality. So Minnesota is a team that I thought, you know, they really got better in terms of the West and the way they're going to position themselves.
All right, you contemplated retirement, but you're going to come back for one more season. But do you have an idea of what you're going to do once you hang up your sneakers?
You know, I'm going to do a little bit of both. I love coaching youth basketball. Like, I'm huge into, like, the amateur basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And just having an impact on young people. So I'm definitely going to do that. And then I've got, you know, obviously some other business interests and things that we're working on, mainly in renewable energy that I'm going to focus on. But I just want to get through this year, you know, try to go out with another bang, you know, try to be as productive as I possibly can at 37 and hope to end this thing right.
All right. Well, when we're traveling around, we'll give you a call to find out the points of interest.
All right, that'll work.
Thanks, David. Congratulations again. Enjoy the offseason.
All right, thanks, man.
David West of the Golden State Warriors, an NBA champion, and he was serious. He was going to give you an answer about what club to go to. He didn't realize that you were joking when you said, "What club are we going to tonight?" And he goes, "Where you at?"
Mama was not in the car.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I got you covered, dog.
Yeah, and he did cackle there for quite a bit with the Golden State Warriors versus the Cleveland Cavaliers handling of the offseason question. They went out
differently.
Yeah, when the Warriors lost the finals, they went out and got Kevin Durant and went after it again. When the Cavaliers lost this time around, they've basically dissolved They've broken apart at the seams, at least currently. Yeah. We'll see where Kyrie Irving ends up. But David West, things are good for David West right now.
Going great. Finally got that elusive title, and one more year, and then it's off to renewable energies and helping the kids. Save those kids. They need some saving. Now you're going to have some competition, you and Dion, but go save them.
Coming out next.
Whoa.
Coming up next. A man.
You are? Go ahead and tell us.
A man is banned from the beach for an unbelievable act. Wait till you hear this story and a bogus update.
Check us out on Facebook at Geo and Jones.
After lauding Andrew Bogus for not messing up Social Security on his read this morning, he went back.
He didn't do it.
And did it again.
No, you did not.
Now, I don't know if these guys didn't pull it yet. But
oh, no.
What's that?
Be ready for the 820.
Okay, yeah.
Good tease.
But he did it again, man. This is your kryptonite.
Social Security.
Social Security.
Social Security.
Social
Taco
Security.
Charlton.
Defensive Coordinator. They find your Social Security number. Good number. Yeah.
Good number. It's a good number. That's what you're trying to say. Yeah. Social Security is a good number.
I'm having fun with the Twitter right now.
Oh, with the Twitter?
Visual stimuli.
It's just a funny video that was posted.
That is pretty funny.
Makes me hungry.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bogus, what you got over there, man?
I got an update. It begins with Ryan Tannehill, plus Colin Kaepernick, plus Jay Cutler. It is time to pour Adam Gase and Mike Tannenbaum a Bellini or something. The Dolphins starting quarterback may need season-ending left knee surgery after a non-contact injury in practice yesterday morning. Tannehill is compiling medical opinions and could choose to rest the knee for 6 to 8 weeks. He opted against surgery after initially hurting the knee back in December. Kaepernick's name has reportedly come up in the Finns front office, and Jay Cutler would apparently like his name to come up in the Finns front office. Cutler said to be interested in reuniting with Adam Gase, who was his offensive coordinator in Chicago, but wants a full season starting job and to be paid accordingly to leave already the Fox broadcasting booth. Neither the Cowboys nor the Cardinals put their big names on the field for last night's Hall of Fame game in Canton. Dallas started Kellen Moore, QB, his first start since Boise State.
I like not having to, wait three quarters and then, warm the arm back up, after about 5 hours. And, it's nice to just warm up, get ready to go, and go play.
Moore went 12 for 17 for 182 yards, a score, and a pick. His Cowboys fell behind 15-0 before winning Hook'em 20-18. Greg, you showed me the picture of two people. I feel like the one on the right doesn't like the one on the left.
this still shot here is just beautiful. I'm going to take a picture.
It's all encompassing.
Yeah, really. It really is.
It's all you need to know.
The 20-year-old third baseman at it again in Boston.
And he swings and hits it high to left field. Pretty deep. Back toward the wall. Delmonico looking up. It's gone! It's gone into the first row of the monster seats. Two-run homer Devers.
Joe Castiglione on Red Sox Radio. 3 homers and 8 career games now for Rafael Devers. This one started Boston towards a 9-5 decision over the White Sox. The Yankees lost in Cleveland 5-1, so Boston's AL East lead is now 2 games. The Astros have their first 3-game losing streak since mid-June. All 3 losses at home to the Rays, 5-3 last night. Detroit a 7-5 win in Baltimore. The Dodgers a 7-4 win in Atlanta. And the Diamondbacks outscored the Cubs 10-8 at Wrigley. Paul Goldschmidt's 3rd homer of the game broke an 8-8 tie top 9. Nick Saban will not suspend Deshaun Hand for last weekend's DUI arrest as long as the Alabama D lineman does certain things like community service. Hand was reportedly found asleep in his parked car. Paulie Malignaggi, Social Security, has left Conor McGregor's training camp, apparently upset that unflattering pictures from a sparring session this week were released. The retired boxer called the situation a circus and says he will not be exploited. And Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth are 2 shots off the lead of Thomas Peters. He's at 5-under after round 1 of the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. Tee times this morning in round 2 pushed back 30 minutes because of bad weather in the Akron area. Boys?
Okay, I've got Brian's future right here. I know exactly how it's going to go. He's going to be down in Florida, just like Richard Bassaraba, 73 years old, who is walking the beaches at Daytona Beach, handing out business cards that read, "Sugar Daddy Seeking His Sugar Baby."
What's wrong with that?
Well, he hands it to teenagers.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
And the mothers of the teenagers aren't too happy about that.
Oh, no. Come on, Rich.
Yeah. Well, that is the deal. Now, he was not charged with a crime. He told police he'd been passing out business cards to young females on the beach who were all older than 18. But people could lie about their age, I guess, unless you have a birth certificate on here. Let me see your ID.
They do it all the time. Which beach was he on, did they say?
Daytona Beach.
Oh, Daytona Beach.
And he's banned from all, I don't know how to pronounce the county, Volusia County beaches.
Okay.
You familiar with
them? No, I'm not.
V-O-L-U-S-I-A.
Uh-huh.
Volusia, I'm going to go with. County beaches.
73-year-old
Richard Bassaraba walking around the beach with business cards that say
Sugar Daddy.
Sugar Daddy seeking his sugar baby.
Ask me about your monthly allowance. Well, that's just cutting straight to it, baby. How much you need a month? How much? You know some people are going to take him up on that.
Pastor Robert said he had no nefarious intentions toward the girls and was devastated by what he considers an overreaction from law enforcement.
I think that was overreaction. Most people thought it was funny.
Well, people are creepy these days. You got to make sure. You got to at least check them out. But, I mean, was he being funny or was he being serious? He probably was being serious. Now, do you respect this guy? Or do you say, you know, for just going out there and saying, this is what the deal is, I'm not going to pretend I've got money, I'm looking for somebody young? Or do you think that it's pathetic that he's that hard up, that he's handing out business cards to try to get people to hang around him?
You may be hard up at 73, too. You never know. I mean, I think this is the wrong way to go about advertising your business. This is the wrong way. Yeah, there's better ways to do this, other places you can venture to. And right, you'll get a different reaction.
How do you go about
I don't know.
Acquiring the sugar babies?
There are other establishments where that message may go over a little bit better than on a beach.
We're talking about a
supermarket.
Okay.
Church.
Church?
Yeah.
More than a beach.
Let me help you. Let me help you with that collection plate. Is your allowance.
Oh, come on. There's no way. The Wiggle is what you're talking about,
that
right?
Too. That's in there, but you meet a lot of people at the grocery store.
You didn't respond to Mike's question in the email last night.
What was the question in his email?
What are the odds that you saw the email?
Slim to none.
Okay. Well,
I read all of your emails, dude. But I was knee-deep in college football prep.
Oh, so you
got lost in the shuffle.
Oh, naturally. Yeah. His email was, what do you think about opening up a strip club for plus-size women called The Jiggle?
I pass.
It's not a bad idea, though.
I pass.
You know, if you think of it, you call it The Wiggle.
Yeah, The Jiggle.
The Jiggle. Not a bad idea.
You're jingling, baby.
Sex.
No. I mean, if you want to plop down some of your money, I'll run it for you.
This next story is also cover your ears if your kid's in the car story.
Mm.
So a top drug company executive and an escort managed to rack up, just take a guess, between the dates here it was over a year. Almost 2 years. So between November 2015 and mid-March 2017, top drug company executive and an escort managed to rack up how much worth of charges on a credit card?
In over a year.
Yep.
Meal.
$5.8 million worth of charges on a company credit card.
Oh, damn. Hugh Freeze again?
Court filing showed that Scott Kennedy, who worked for France-based Nemera, and Crystal Lundberg, who worked for street-based Calvin, spent thousands of dollars on plastic surgery, a San Diego mansion, and a chauffeur for her children, dogs, and potted plants.
When I met you last night, baby.
Oh, man, she took advantage of the dude. Come on. You don't take advantage of someone's generosity like that. Sex.
Analysis conducted by Nomera found more than 8,800 improper charges to the company credit card between November 2015 and mid-March 2017, including $24,000 for movers to haul Crystal Lundberg's potted plants from her home in Illinois to her mansion, two Rolex watches, a personal driver for her daughters, a maid, two purebred dogs, and trips to numerous locations, including Bali, Hawaii, France, and Costa Rica.
What?
While Kennedy largely blamed Lundberg for spending, he admitted buying gifts with the company card to pay for day-to-day expenses after Lundberg had allegedly maxed out his personal credit cards.
What? Dang! Was he 73 too?
Man!
He maxed out his personal credit card and then said, okay, company, you start footing the bill for this woman. Man, he must have really liked her.
Seriously.
Wow!
What I don't understand is, whoever is in charge of the company expenses, it takes you almost 2 years, a year and a half, to catch on to this? They had to rack up $5.8 million worth of stuff before a red flag goes off in your mind?
That just shows you how much dough they're rolling in.
Right. Yeah. They must be really, really doing well.
But how about this lie she told him? Or he told the agency that Lundberg had led him to believe she would eventually reimburse him, as she claimed she was adopted by a wealthy family as a child, and at age 30, she would be able to access $4 million.
At age 30.
Wow.
Yeah, just a couple more years.
Wow. That's what I'm going to use. Listen, I can only give you $10 tonight, but trust me, my inheritance is going to kick in about a week.
Oh, man.
Oh.
What an idiot.
It's undefeated. It is undefeated, man.
The power of the...
$5.8 million. You believe that? Crazy. What's that word you use for cocktail story?
No, it's not exactly.
How do you say it?
No, you said it right, but that's not how you would use it.
No.
Yeah, then not in this particular
You wouldn't
situation.
Use it. I got another word I can't use.
Yeah.
What an idiot. You maxed out your personal credit card, didn't you put that on the company?
Well, the company card thing, at least he wasn't paying for that personally. And then when I found out it was the personal card, as dumb as the company card stuff, it's dumb. You're going to get caught and fired.
Right.
But, like, I actually am more appalled with the fact that he maxed out his own personal credit card before he got to the company card. Your own money! Stop.
Oh, man.
All right. Coming up next. Kristaps Porzingis wants to be tougher, both on the court and with his mouth. So he's been studying some people. We'll tell you who. Coming right up.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Kristaps Porzingis is going to have a magical year next year for the New York Knicks. Absolutely magical. It'll be an even better year if Carmelo Anthony isn't on that team. But he's still going to have a great year. And these are the reasons why. One, he's been working out like crazy. And, yeah, it's a little pretentious to put up your workout videos on social media, but he's been doing it. He looks bigger. He looks stronger. He looks like he's in the best shape he's been in. And now he is studying two of the best people at their particular craft.
Mm-hmm.
One, he's working with Dirk Nowitzki, who many people have compared him to. And I actually think, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be Dirk because Dirk's one of the great scorers in NBA history. But he actually can do more than Dirk, which is crazy to say, but he can.
Yeah.
And has the capability of that in his skill set. But he's working with Dirk to refine his game. And he's also studying Conor McGregor on how to become a better trash talker. So he is taking this offseason seriously. There's no fill. He left in a cloud of dust after the season to go back to wonderful, beautiful Latvia to hang out this offseason, get his mind right, get his body right, all these things. And he's going to come back and be a monster next year, as long as that big, lanky body can stay healthy.
Well, the talent's there. The athleticism is there, and you're correct as far as being a complete player. No knock on Dirk, but here's a guy that is a better slasher, I will say, than Dirk. And Dirk can shoot the lights out, and Porzingis will maybe probably get there. But this is why not lean on someone who's had such an illustrious career as Dirk Nowitzki go down as one of the greats? And as far as the trash talking, why do you need that to be the part of your game? Just let your game to be a part of your game. Let your game speak for itself.
I think the NBA is real. They got a lot of great trash talkers there, and I feel like maybe he's gotten trash talked a lot, and his comebacks probably aren't good enough.
Listen to more translatarists. They don't teach you trash talking. And then you say it in Latvian, no one know what the hell you're saying. You can't get a tech.
Well, his English is very, very good.
Yeah.
So, but I could just see, I mean, from what we know of translatarists and Latvia, I mean, he probably is just way too nice with his, you know, I hope you step in a puddle on the way to the market. You know? Like, that's probably what he's saying.
We will not be the only one black.
I hope that it rains on your cousin's wedding day. That she has planned for many years now.
Universal Shop, Gherkins and Partneries, and Humbleys.
Hope you drink too much vodka.
I hope on your next poop that there's not enough toilet paper to satisfactorily wipe your undercarriage.
Humbleys.
You know? That's probably what he's saying, so he needs some help with that.
Huh?
Yeah.
What did you just say to me?
What'd you say?
Ref, did you hear that? That's not allowed. You can't talk about my undercarriage like that.
I hope you wake up in the middle of the night with moderate to severe acid reflux. What?
I hope you get duped by an escort lady.
Well, that's bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually really mean. You know, $5.8 million. That's not good.
It's probably happened.
And Mikey B's been trying desperately for years now. We've gotten everybody. We've gotten in contact with every person who has ever spoken to Kristaps Porzingis in Latvia. Translatoris, Giannis Translatoris's manager, Porzingis's brother, the play-by-play man for Latvian basketball. Like, we've been trying to get Porzingis on because we have a connection.
Yep.
He doesn't do interviews, and he's been a big story this NBA offseason because he didn't talk to the Knicks at all. Phil Jackson tried to trade him before he got fired. So we're thinking maybe we could be the guys that get Porzingis on, make the story, and no, doesn't happen. No.
Come on, Mikey B.
I'm trying.
Try harder.
No, it's not his fault. He tells me about...
Try harder!
Well, I will. I haven't heard him do anything on radio.
I guess he just...
At all.
He's trading, man. He's focused, a laser focus on this upcoming season...
Yep. Upcoming Caesar salad. He's got the laser focus on that. Anchovies, no anchovies. I hope your Caesar salad comes out with anchovies when you don't like anchovies.
Excuse me?
And then they take the anchovies off and the lettuce still tastes like fish. That's what I hope for you.
Try harder, Brian.
No, I need to try less.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, you damn near know everyone in Riga right now.
Yeah.
And still can't get the man. Kristaps
Porzingis.
Yeah.
Kristaps Porzingis. Yeah. We do know everybody.
We know everyone in Saces. Yes.
That stinks that didn't work out.
Ah!
It's just too much. It was just too much. Not for you, it's not too much. It's just too much. You know?
I'm going to go.
Well, you should have gone already. Now you can't.
I'm going to go.
You should have gone in July.
In the football season, I'm going. Oh, no, it's going to be too damn cold.
Not going to go. Then now's the time to go.
I know.
Go next week.
Okay.
It's a final countdown.
I don't even remember that.
I don't either.
I don't either.
What was he doing? Was that Rocky 3?
I don't know.
Pick one. No, that was Rocky. Was it 3? Yeah, it was 3. Final countdown?
Yeah. Bye.
It's a final countdown.
That was
Drago. Maybe that's more Latvian trash talk.
There you
that's
go.
That's what Porzingis does. He hits a three. He goes do 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 do. Kyrie Irving's not going anywhere.
Nope.
Every day I'm going to say this.
Nope.
He's not going anywhere. And Devin Booker now is been linked in trade talks to the Cavaliers for Kyrie Irving, even if Irving didn't sign the extension that they wanted. And then that's not going to happen, clearly, if Irving's not going to sign the extension. The Nuggets have inquired. The Nuggets are not going to break up all their young players just to get Kyrie Irving. And the problem is, if Kyrie Irving doesn't sign that extension, then no one's going to trust him to want to stay in that particular place. And he also had a list of teams. The Suns and Nuggets weren't on those teams, right. Wasn't on that list of teams that Kyrie Irving put out. So they're thinking, well, he probably doesn't want to be here. He's going to sign with those teams. He's a free agent. The teams that were on that list haven't inquired enough and or don't have enough to be able to go and get him. So he's going to go back there to Cleveland. If he gets traded at this point, I mean, I should say nothing shocks me in sports anymore. At this point, if Kyrie Irving actually gets traded from the Cavaliers, that will truly floor me, because it's such a difficult thing to consummate right now.
Right, and first of all, Kyrie doesn't want to sign the extension. The Suns don't want to give up Devin Booker, so that's not going to work. It's not one of the original teams he wanted to go to, as you just stated. So this is going to continue to go round and round and round, and Cleveland, bless their hearts, they're trying. They're trying to accommodate Kyrie Irving, but it's just not working right now. And so eventually you're going to have to crawl back to the Cavaliers and say, I'm sorry, make up for this, and let's move on and try to get back to the finals. I mean, it's just the leverage is not on the side of the Cavaliers in this deal. Just not.
I'm just thinking about the David West laugh. You guys seem to figure it out. How come the Cavaliers can't? He loved that one.
Yeah,
that was it. Is one. It is sort of pathetic, though, isn't it? And what they're going through. I mean, think about taking less money these guys are. I mean, coming back, Draymond Green convinced David West to come back for another year. He doesn't care about money. Durant's taking less money. It's just like we just want to win.
And let's look at this from the other side as far as this trade for Kyrie Irving is concerned. Kyrie Irving wants to leave because of uncertainty. People didn't want to take the front office job because of uncertainty. Other free agents or guys who weren't free agents but that were traded didn't want to go to Cleveland because of uncertainty. So why would anyone from Phoenix or any of the other teams that have been mentioned by Kyrie Irving, why would they want to go there if there's a lot of uncertainty after next season?
Yeah, nobody, right?
So Cleveland has no leverage. And none.
If you missed the David West interview when I asked him which one of the teams in the offseason was he taking notice of the most, and he said Minnesota.
Yeah.
What Minnesota did. Wouldn't that be something if the Timberwolves were the biggest threat to the Golden State Warriors?
Wait.
Many years of Wolves Warriors.
Like it.
That's the wrong music. I was singing ESPN NFL music. I think I just hummed, but that's okay.
It's a final countdown.
Dwight Howard went to Hooters wearing a shirt that said, "May I suggest the sausage?" And underneath that phrase, a finger pointing down. Word.
Yes, and his sausage.
We're still a champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little over the top, very suggestive. Say the least, Dwight, come on, dog. Really? You need to advertise it? I mean, you're Dwight Howard. You're a champion, man.
Yeah, you're
Superman.
I'm still a champion.
You're not a champion. You've never been a champion.
Champion.
Yeah.
Really?
Is there anybody? This is something I ask myself. Because it's Dwight Howard, is that shirt? I mean, it's pathetic because it's on Dwight Howard. If Derek Jeter wore that shirt, would we be
no.
criticizing him?
Yeah,
we would be. Doesn't matter who you are.
Don't need it. I mean, I think we've all purchased shirts, suggestive shirts. Maybe no. I had one. It was of sperm shaped as the Nike swoosh. And the caption was "just did it."
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I mean, but this is many, many moons ago.
Yeah. Well, there was colonization of Jamaica.
Have you not purchased funny, sexual innuendo? No,
I think,
just me.
I think, okay, I think right. Pete dumped your shirt story.
Oh, you can't say that?
No, I think you can. I don't know.
Why would you dump that?
No, I did have a
what
shirt.
What does that mean?
No, I did have a shirt too that I forget. I got it in like the Florida Keys on a family vacation, and it was what did it say? It was something I can't remember. But yes,
sexual innuendo.
Yes,
right?
The answer is yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
But you give it up at some point.
Right. Right? Exactly. That's my point. Yes.
Right.
Dwight Howard, you know, 30, let it go, dog. Yeah. Come on. Or just wear it when you're in a foreign country or something. How about that? Where no one knows you.
Or just inside the house. Just buy a shirt and wear it inside the house.
Just looking for something to throw on real quick to wear around the house. Yeah, but Hooters.
I had a shirt I used to wear in middle school, which was, it said, had enough, called Dr. Kevorkian. And I used to walk around with that when I was in like sixth grade.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Teachers loved it.
See, that's wrong.
My teachers loved it. They did.
That
or whatever.
Is so wrong.
They loved the shirt. They were like, you know what? That's not a bad
that's
idea.
That's why they sent you that Bellport ice cream. You didn't matter. Send them over to the brothers.
Yeah, I mean, even then. I was,
even I was, then, you were a jerk.
I wasn't going to go with jerk, but you know. Disliking most people, I was going to go with. It's not, as you say, it's not my fault, man.
No.
It's not my fault. No. Coming up next, some NFL talk on Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.